Let's all take our Bibles now and turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. One of my favorite verses in the Bible during the last 2 years has become Philippians 1:27. As a matter of fact, I've preached from it twice already here at Bethel Baptist Church, two different sermons from Philippians 1:27. And we're just going to kind of jump off from the verse, not so much preach on the verse itself today, but at least get started there. On Sunday nights, we've been talking about the importance of one. The importance of one. There's so many aspects of that throughout the Bible. And today, we're going to look at one mind. One mind. It's so important that as a church, as a body of believers, the Lord enables us to be of one mind. Look down at verse 27, Philippians chapter 1. And verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. There you see it there, one mind. The Apostle Paul said, hey, I might come and see you, or I might not be able to, I'm in prison. But either way, I want to hear the news that as you are striving for the faith of the gospel, you are striving with one mind. One mind. Now I've got a question for our Sunday night crowd here. Whose mind is that one mind? Whose is it? Yes, the mind of Christ. Okay, look, flip over one page to chapter 2 and verse 5. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So whose mind are we supposed to have? The mind of Christ. We're supposed to say, okay, Lord, build a unity of mind into our lives. Let it be one mind, and Lord, let it be your mind, the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, our next question is, how do we know and obtain the mind of Christ? How will we do that? Okay, we're supposed to be of one mind. Whose mind is that? Well, it's the mind of Christ. All right, how do I get to know the mind of Christ and obtain the mind of Christ so that I'm thinking like He thinks? Yeah, she's waving at me back there. Yeah, like this, right? The Word of God. Wave the Bible, that's it. The Bible is how we have the mind of Christ. This is how we know how God thinks, how Christ thinks. This is how we know how we ought to think and how our minds will be washed and renewed, and we begin to think like Christ thinks when we allow God's Word to fill our minds and our hearts. Turn back to Psalm 119. Here comes the rain. All right. Psalm 119. Everybody have their car windows up? If not, go run and put them up. All right. Psalm 119. It rains for about 30 seconds in Florida and then it quits. Okay. That reminds me, I worked at a summer camp that was an island in the middle of the Delaware River between Pennsylvania and New Jersey. I worked there a couple summers and they had their auditorium was open on the sides, and it had a metal roof. And when it rained, you could not hear the preacher. It was incredible. They just had to call everything off when it rained or just wait it out. But it's a little bit more quiet in here. I think you'll be able to hear. Psalm 119, longest chapter in the Bible. Almost every verse in this chapter talks about God's Word. How many of you have noticed that before? Almost every verse in that whole long chapter talks about God's Word. Look down at verse 9. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against God, against thee. Hey, look at verse 9 again. How does somebody cleanse their way? By taking heed, listening, thinking about, and obeying God's Word. And so he says, Lord, with my whole heart I'm going to seek you. Not just half-heartedly. I appreciate these guys, especially the girls who learned 30 verses. Man, they put their whole heart into that. They said, I'm going to try to accomplish that whole sheet, you know, with my whole heart. Maybe some of you only learned one or two, but you put your whole heart into it. It gets harder to memorize the older we get, doesn't it? But with my whole heart have I sought thee. Lord, don't let me wander. Don't let me wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against God. He said, I don't want to sin against you, Lord. So I'm going to hide your word in my heart. Not just in my head, but in my heart. Now, to get it in your heart, you first have to get it in your head. You've got to learn it. How many of you have noticed with me that the more familiar you are with a verse as you try to memorize it, the more it means to you? That's the way that verse I started out with has been for me the last 2 years, Philippians 1:27. The more I read that verse and memorize that verse, the more I find inside of it, the more power it has in my life, the more it means to me. And that's the way it is. When you hide God's word in your heart, it works in your life in such a way that it keeps you on track for God. Now, obviously it's great for young people, but all of us are in danger of getting off track. A lot of times in the Bible, you have some men of God who serve God through their whole life, and they mess up at the end. Can anybody think of some? I'm thinking of Noah. Noah walked with God, built the ark. And then at the end of his life, the Bible records Noah getting drunk. Okay, messed up at the end. Anybody else? There's some others. Okay, King Saul. King Saul's a big one. Moses. Oh yeah, Moses. Here Moses, you know, led them out of the land of Israel and then out of the land of Egypt and getting ready to go in the promised land, and then he disobeys God and he strikes the rock. Now the first time God told him to strike a rock and he got water. Then the second time he said, speak to the rock. And Moses got mad at the people and he struck the rock again. And because of that, the Lord said, Moses, you're going to get to see the promised land, but you're not going to go in. Took him up to a high mountain where he could see across and see and look over the promised land, but didn't get to go, and he messed up at the end. Adam and Eve, okay? I don't know that it was quite the end, but yeah, they messed up after they were full grown, for sure. They were definitely, I think they were created full grown. So, Adam and Eve. Solomon, yeah. Here, the wisest of all men requested wisdom, and then toward the end of his life, multiplied horses, multiplied wives, disobeyed the command of God, and got off track. So hey, all of us need Psalm 119. All of us need to hide God's word in our heart that we might not sin against Him. Scripture memory is a great and crucial thing for all of us. So I want to talk about it just a little bit tonight. Number one, the purpose of Scripture memory. The purpose. There are probably a lot of purposes, but for tonight I want to say this. The purpose of Scripture memory is the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. What was the mind of Christ like? We could probably come up with a long list to describe how Christ thought about things, but I'll mention just two things tonight. First of all, it's the mind of a disciplined servant. The mind of a disciplined servant. Christ displayed the discipline to accomplish God's desires for him. You know, God had a plan for his son. He sent him down and had a perfect plan for his life. Not only to die on the cross, but I believe it was God's plan every step of the way. And Christ followed the will of his Father to the T. He said to the disciples, when they said, aren't you hungry? He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He said, that's what keeps me going. That's what sustains me, to do what God wants me to do. He had the mind of a disciplined servant. Not only a servant who says, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do, I'm your servant, but then a disciplined mind where he's disciplined enough to see it accomplished. Now, obviously, Christ was God, so he had an advantage there. But hey, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If we're commanded to have the mind of Christ, then God will enable us to have the discipline to be a servant of His like He wants us to be. And it's not in our own strength. Just like you don't get saved by your own doings, you're not going to live the Christian life by your own strength. It's got to be where we surrender. We say, Lord, I can't live it. But if it's Christ living out through me, He can live it. Give me the mind of Christ. Let me think like Him. Change my thinking as I read, meditate, and memorize your word. And help me think with that mind of Christ so that I become a disciplined servant. And I have the discipline that I need to accomplish the plan that God has for my life. There's nothing like scripture memory to build the self-discipline into your life. You know, some of these young people were perhaps more gifted than others when it comes to memory. But others have to really work at it. Some of you said one or two verses, and I appreciate it. Because I know the work that was involved. And how, you know, these guys, some of them, they could look at it one time and say it. Some of the older folks, you've got to say it out loud 50 times before you've got it. Okay? But you know what? At least, yeah. But you know, that is the discipline of a mind that says, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do, even though it takes some hard work and some effort. You know, as we discipline our minds to memorize Scripture, and we say, Lord, I'm just going to do it because that's what you want, and I'm your servant, then we learn to live by the Bible and not just by our feelings. You see, a lot of times we're undisciplined in our service to the Lord. We don't have a disciplined mind like Christ did because we base our Christian walk on feelings. You know, oh, you know, the boss at work got on my case today, so now I'm all mad and depressed. Wait a second. God's still in control. He knew the boss was going to get on your case, maybe unjustly. And the Lord can give you grace to make it through that and to portray a godly Christian walk if you'll have the mind of Christ. He can give you the mind of Christ even in those rough situations. So we learn to live by the Bible and not by our feelings as we memorize Scripture. We go over those verses over and over again. We get them in our minds, in our heart. And then when the temptation comes, wait a second. I'm thinking like Christ about this. I'm not just going to go on my feelings. You know, I don't feel like getting up for Sunday school. I don't feel like getting up and having my devotions. But I'm going to do it because of the discipline of the mind of Christ. Christ's mind was also not only the mind of a disciplined servant, but also the mind of an effective witness. As you read through the Bible, the Gospels, especially the book of John, you see Jesus as very skillful in His use of the Scriptures while talking to others. Oftentimes, He would quote verses from the Old Testament when He was telling them how to be saved. Okay, He talked to Nicodemus, He talked to the woman at the well, talked to groups of people at a time, and He would quote Old Testament Scripture and refer to it often. And you know He had the Scripture memorized. Now, He was 100% God and 100% man. As 100% God, He already knew all the Scriptures. But as 100% man, as a little child, I picture Jesus memorizing Scripture, memorizing God's words of the Old Testament, and spending time getting to know the Bible inside out from the human perspective of Christ. And that gave Him the mind of an effective witness. If you'll get involved in Scripture memory, God will be able to use you to give God's answers to people's questions as you witness for Him. You know, a lot of times people will ask you a question. Oh, you're a Christian? Well, you know, what do you think about this? And maybe you say, well, you know, I kind of think this. There's nothing wrong with that. But wouldn't it be much better to say, well, I can tell you what I think, but more importantly, let me tell you what God said in the Bible about it. Because what I think is only worth 2 cents. But what God thinks is always right. And here's what the Lord says about that. And you've got that verse memorized. You know where it is. You turn them to it. And you're able to answer those questions from the Word of God. It's a wonderful thing. And that comes from Scripture memory. I remember my dad was saved about the same time I was. I was a 9-year-old kid. And he was an adult, obviously. And he got saved about the same time I did. You know, he had a profession when he was younger. But let's say he at least started following the Lord about the same time I got saved. And I remember one of the greatest things in my life was my dad taking me out with him on Tuesday night soul winning. The church that I went to there had soul winning night on Tuesday night. And people from the church would gather and get contacts and visits, or maybe go house to house. My dad liked to do the contacts. And we would visit a family or two who had visited the church or somebody who had gotten saved. For a while, I remember, we kept visiting the same family, the Palladino family. They had gotten saved and started coming to our church. And so we kept going by and going through some discipleship material with them. And they would get into discussions with my dad, and I was just a kid. I'd sit there and listen. Well, after I got saved, my dad put me in a Christian school, and we started memorizing Bible verses in the Christian school. And I remember my dad, he would say, he would turn to me and he'd say, now Mark, I was like now 11 years old, maybe 12 years old, and he'd say, now Mark, where's that verse that says something like blah, 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 blah? And I'd say, oh, that's in John 11:35, you know, Jesus wept, or whatever. And I could tell him where it was because I had memorized it in the Christian school. And it made it so we were more effective as a team. He did most of the talking, and I got to help him remember where the verses were. And it was a great blessing in my life. By the way, let me encourage you to take your kids soul winning with you. It's a wonderful thing, and something that I never forgot, being able to go with my dad. But you know, you'll be more effective as a witness, as a soul winner, if you will memorize God's Word. The Lord never promised to bless persuasion or your personality or powerful logic, but He promised to bless His Word. Isaiah 55 and verse 11, He says, "My Word shall not return void, but it shall accomplish the purpose for which I've sent it." See, God's going to accomplish that purpose through His Word. And if you give your opinion and you're really good at persuading people, you have the gift of gab, so people say, well, I can't go out soul winning or visitation because I don't have the gift of gab. Now, wait a second. Those aren't the people that God blesses. He blesses His Word. Now, if you have the gift of gab, fine. Okay? Use it for the Lord. But make sure you use the Word of God. That's where the power is. And that brings me to number two, the power of Scripture memory. The power of Scripture memory. The purpose is the mind of Christ. The power of Scripture memory is this, a life of victory. A life of victory. God does not want us to live a defeated Christian life. We talked this morning about having the power of His resurrection. Well, how do you get that power? One of the big ways is through Scripture memory. He wants to give us, first of all, victory over Satan. Satan is out to ruin my life and yours. He doesn't just want to make it rough. He doesn't want to just make your life a little tough. He doesn't want to just get you to mess up a little bit. No, if Satan could have his way, he would like to ruin your life. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to ruin your life. Not just, you know, seeking whom he may injure. No, he wants to ruin our life. Now, as a Christian, you can't lose your soul to Satan. If you've gotten saved, then your soul belongs to the Lord. He's taking you to heaven. Satan can't get your soul. You're not going to miss heaven. He can't take you to hell. But he would like to ruin your life, your testimony, and your future reward. And that's what he's out to do. Luke 22:31, the Lord warned Peter. It's called Simon in this verse. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. He'd like to run you through the ringer and have nothing but the small grains left. He'd like to ruin your life. And Scripture memory is the key to victory over Satan. Do you remember what Jesus did when he was tempted by the devil? He quoted Scripture. It's in Luke chapter 4, and also I believe in Matthew chapter 4. He quoted Scripture. Now, when we're tempted, sometimes we pray. There's nothing wrong with that. But what Jesus did was he quoted Scripture. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is quick. That's alive. And it's powerful. That's where the power is. We need to quench the fiery darts of the wicked with the shield of faith, the shield of faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. See, the Word of God is the key to overcoming the devil. So, victory over Satan, and then also victory over sin. We looked at Psalm 119 already. How can a young man cleanse his way? Thy word have I hidden in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Victory over sin. Jesus used it to battle temptation, and we can too. There's great power in the Word of God, a life of victory. We don't have to live a defeated Christian life. We don't have to live a Christian life where, you know, it's up and down and up and down, and yeah, we're on top of the world, we're living for God, and oh, I messed up again, I sinned. Okay, we're going to mess up. We're going to sin sometimes until we get to heaven. But it doesn't have to be a roller coaster ride. The Lord can give victory. He wants us to live on the victory side. And it comes through committing yourself to Scripture memory. Next, I'd like us to see the plan for Scripture memory. Point number three, the plan for Scripture memory. You've got to have a plan. One man said, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. Okay, think about that. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. So we've got to have a plan. It's important to have a plan if you're going to memorize Scripture. Then you've got to have some work. Throughout the Bible, God puts His stamp of approval on work. And it will take hard work. If somebody says, you know what? The Scripture memory campaign is over. Month of March is over. But you know what? I got a little taste of memorizing Scripture. I'd like to keep at that. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. I want to be blessed, Lord. I want to stay with that Scripture memory. It's going to take some work. I remember as a teenager, the Lord got hold of me about this, and at age 16 and 17 and 18, the Lord enabled me by His grace to learn a verse every day. I may have missed a few days in there, but I got thinking today, that was 365, that's over 1,000 verses that the Lord allowed me to memorize. And I'm going to show you a plan that you can use to memorize Scripture so that you never forget them. It's a really good plan. There's lots of Scripture memory plans, but it's important to have a plan, and then you got to work that plan. I remember some nights I would get home from a ball game or something, a sports team I was on, and be kind of tired, want to go to bed. But I said, you know what, I didn't do my Scripture memory yet today. And I remember walking around the dining room table with some memory verse cards and just taking that 10 or 15 minutes before I went to bed and go over out loud my memory verse cards. You know, somebody say, hey, what are you doing down there? Is you talking to yourself? Well, yeah, I guess I am. guess I am, Dad. But it takes work. Anything in life that's worthwhile takes work. So I'm not presenting this in such a way to say it's easy, but I am presenting it in such a way to say that it's worth it. Romans 12:11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And then John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. You know, someday the Lord's going to come. He's going to take us to heaven. Won't be any more Scripture memory. Okay, the time to work on that kind of thing is now, this time that He's given us in order to do the work of Scripture memory and other things that He would have us to do. All right, I got this ready for you. So, first of all, we need to plan, we need to work, and then we need to pray, because we need the Lord's help to do it. If you want to embark on the trail of Scripture memory beginning tonight, you're going to have to pray and say, now, Lord, you're going to have to help me here. My mind doesn't work like it used to, or I'm busy with school and a lot of other things, or, Lord, I've got a lot of pressure on my job site. You're going to have to help me if I'm going to get into Scripture memory. So you've got to pray about it. Plan, work, and pray. Let me give you a plan that works and then talk to you about working the plan. First of all, a plan that works. There are a lot of different Scripture memory plans. You know, when I passed out that Scripture memory sheet to you, somebody said, man, Pastor Neither is really big on this Scripture memory stuff. You don't know how big I am on it, okay? Let me show you a couple things I've collected over the years. This one's called The Treasure Path to Soul Winning, and it helps you memorize verses by a system that's described in the little booklet, and there are especially verses you can use on soul winning. It's a great little plan. Somebody could borrow that tonight. This one is called In My Heart Revival, a topical memory program about revival for Christians being revived by evangelist Steve Pettit. And this is a good little plan, and memorize some revival verses. A preacher named Jerry Savinsky has put together one called The Two-Edged Sword Scripture Memory Plan. It's got five different books like this. This book is especially geared for teenagers, and it has the letters, the two-edged sword, and for each letter has a couple memory verses. And it helps you get through it that way. It's a good scripture memory plan. And this one's by a guy named Rand Hummel. He's at the camp that we're taking the teenagers to this summer, the Wilds Christian Camp. And he put together a scripture memory program called Five Smooth Stones. And what his theory was taking off of Goliath. And David, he had five stones because he wanted to make sure I'm going to slay this giant. Of course, he also got his brother, the giant's brothers as well, you know. But the idea is, hey, here comes the giant of temptation. I'm going to use that scripture verse that I memorized to battle that temptation. And just in case the temptation's still there, I got another one ready, and another one ready. And he's got five verses, five smooth stones, for different areas of temptation that we face in our lives. So that's a good program as well. And then this one, these are called Here and There Scripture Cards. I bought an extra set of them. We used these with our kids when they were little. And on the back of each card, there's a number of verses that have to do with the topic on the front. And we just learned one verse on probably half of the cards and went over them with the kids in our family devotions. And this was a great scripture memory tool, the Here and There Scripture Cards. So those are some different things that are available. But what I want to show you is a program that anybody can use without any materials and things. And I call it the 5-45-7 plan. Okay? It works on a 3x5 card like this. And the way it works is when you get ready to learn a Bible verse, you get your 3x5 card, you write down the reference, and then you write down the date that you're going to start learning that verse. And then the first 5 days are here. I just write this on the card. I draw some lines, and then write 5 days, 45 days, 7 weeks, and MO for monthly. Then down here I write 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, and put a couple lines. It only takes a moment. Then on the back of the card, you write out the verse. So then you just flip that card over and just write out your verse on the 3x5 card on the side with the lines. Then you get ready to learn that verse. What you do is the first day you say that verse, you say it 25 times. You say it out loud, you say the reference, the verse, and the reference. I always say the reference at the beginning and the end. I say it twice so that I can remember it. Isn't that the hardest part to remember? The reference? So you say reference, verse, reference. And then you say reference, verse, reference again. And you say it 25 times out loud. I usually try to say it with feeling because then it gets in my head a little bit better instead of just running through it like a robot. I say it 25 times. Well, then the next time I'm going to learn a verse, I'll get me another 3x5 card. I'll say that verse 25 times. And then I'll say this one 20 times. Then the next day I'm going to learn a verse, I'll get me another card, say that one 25, say the other one 20, say this one 15. And just do that for 5 days, or 5 times that I've learned a verse. You could do a verse a day, or you could do 2 verses a week, or whatever you want, but each time you learn a new verse, you check off another slot. Does that make sense? After 5 days, then you come over here and you say it once a day for 45 days. Once a day for 45 days, I usually just put tally marks, 1, 2, 3, 4, slash 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 10. Okay, and I just say it once a day for 45 days. After that 45th day, then I take that card, I put it in a new stack, and I say that one once a week for 7 weeks. So usually I like to do that on a Sunday, and I'll say, you know, all the verses in the weekly stack, and I'll write down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 as I say that for 7 weeks. After the 7th week, I put it in another stack, and that's my monthly stack. Usually first Sunday of the month is a good time to do that, and you go through your monthly stack, and you say that verse, and just put up a tally mark. And you can see how many months you've learned that verse or worked on it. So I call it the 5-45-7 plan. It's been called, I didn't make it up, but I don't remember where I got it. That was the plan that I used way back when I was 16, and the Lord helped me to learn some verses. Well, after you have... You say, it sounds really complicated. Well, wait a second. After you have your verse for a while, it looks like that. And there's Psalm 119:11. And this person worked on it 5 days, 45 days, 7 weeks, and then, 18 months after that. I'll tell you, once you get over to the monthly side, you know it. Just like some of you know John 3:16, for God so loved, and you can quote that off. That's the same way you know some of these hard verses. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So you can remember these verses because you've gone over them so many times and they're a part of you. And you never forget them. It's a great thing. Now, how long does that take? Well, when you first start out, it doesn't take long at all. You just say that 25 times and you're done. Okay, then the second day I got two verses to work on. Then the third day I learn a verse, I've got three verses to work on. Pretty soon your daily stack will have 50 verses. I found that if I do it out loud and concentrate on what I'm doing, it takes between 15 and 20 minutes, depending on how long the verses are on the cards. It takes about 15 to 20 minutes to go through your daily stack. All right? That's a commitment. It takes work, but it's well worth it. Now you say, well, I don't have 15 or 20 minutes a day. Maybe you'll want to learn a verse a week or two verses a week. Now it works a lot better when you're reviewing them every day, so it is good that way. But whatever plan that you decide to do, whether it's this one or another one or something you do on your own, let me encourage you to work that plan. Now I printed out a long description of this plan, and I have about five or six sheets with me here. I can print some more if we need them. But if anybody wants to try that plan, see me tonight. I'll give you an explanation and a little sample on the back that looks like what's up on the screen, and an explanation on the front, and you could try that scripture memory plan. It'd be a great thing. Whatever plan the Lord leads you to choose on scripture memory, the important thing is to work that plan. Okay? You plan the work, and then you work the plan. To get in the habit, here's a couple ideas. First of all, set a specific time. Maybe you're going to do your scripture memory times in the morning. Maybe you're going to do it during your commute. Somebody's driving you to school, and you're going to work on your scripture memory. Maybe you walk to school, and you can do scripture memory while you're walking to school. Maybe if you're driving to work, you better keep your eyes on the road, I guess. But you plan a time to do it. Maybe after supper is going to be your scripture memory time. Maybe before bed is going to be your scripture memory time. That's a good idea. Have daily devotions in the morning. Have your scripture memory in the evening. Works out well. Let me encourage you, when you start out, especially if you use this plan, work on verses you already know. Go ahead and take John 3:16 and get it in your system so you're reviewing it. Take some of the ones maybe from that you learned during the month of March for our Scripture Memory campaign. Get them into the system so that you're reviewing them and you'll never forget them. It's a great thing to use verses you already know. Also, you can memorize some motivational verses. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The word of God is quick and powerful. You can memorize some of those verses. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, repetition is your best teacher. I encourage you to carry the cards with you. Stick a rubber band around them. Take them with you and determine, I'm going to get through that stack before I go to bed tonight. It'd be a great thing. Say the verses out loud. Don't whisper them. Go over them out loud. If you just do them in your mind, doesn't work nearly as well, and see what the Lord will do as you memorize God's Word. Do you guys have any questions or comments about that tonight? Kind of an unusual message. Here's what I'm thinking. I realize that not everybody is ready for something like this. Some are maybe newly saved, and you haven't grown to that point yet. But some of you, I think, are ready for this. Some of you are ready, and perhaps as a culmination of Scripture Memory Month, you could begin the habit of some personal Scripture memory. It'd be a great thing in your life, be life-changing, and you'd never regret the time invested in God's Word. Let's bow in prayer.